Welcome to the Portrait on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live this week from the Firefall Studio. The only place you can hear us live currently is on Spreaker.com, but if we keep having problems with the delays and the droppings and the whatever, if I'm going to have problems, I'll go back to Blog Talk. But right now, this is where we are. I appreciate your understanding. Last week, I was performing my son's wedding ceremony, was there with family. It was a beautiful, special wedding ceremony for my son Chris and his new wife Kika, so please keep them in your prayers. But tonight we're getting back to basics. We're still looking at the great awakenings. Tonight we're going to be talking about the personal awakening aspect of it, looking at the Book of Acts Church. This is where we consider how the early church served the Lord so that we can do it as well. Restore the priesthood of the believer, the world-shaking influence the early church had, and we do that. We won't water it down, don't filter it, and since I took that red-letter basics, not going to compromise, and got into a pure teaching, I watched the numbers drop, but I also know that the path is narrow. Few find it. I think very few want to find it, and I'm glad you're here with us, because apparently you do. The church age is still in effect. Day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, visit the site. Use the contact button. If you'd like to support Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways to do that. We appreciate your support and your encouragement. We also appreciate our Blog Talk listeners, iTunes, iHeartRadio listeners. And if you send your praise and prayer before Wednesday, always mark it for the porch. I've announced the changes coming to Firefall Talk Radio. As you know, the only thing we have going is the porch. Everything else is on an indeterminate hiatus. All the archives are being deleted. If there's any shows you had listened to in the past and you want to save them, download them, because they're about to be gone. Social media accounts will be shut down. You'll stay up to date. You'll have to go to the website. I'm also creating a personal blog site to continue to encourage and edify and do those things. Time of change. Things are happening in the spirit, and we are reacting to it. Coming up, Israel's 70th anniversary as a nation, May 14th. Watch and pray. Tonight marks the start of Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Memorial Day in Israel. What they do on this day is a single siren will sound throughout the entire country for 1 minute. For 1 minute, the entire country will come to a standstill and remember the 6 million lives stolen by the evil, demonically empowered Nazis in World War II. We must remember those people. We must remember to stand up to any anti-Semitism and bigotry that goes against God's children and his nation. If you're here and you do not believe that Israel is the Lord's chosen children, the apple of his eye, and we are grafted into that vine, you're in the wrong place. Because I support Israel. I believe in Israel. I have an American flag and an Israeli flag on my studio desk here, beside the fact I have Jewish blood in my system. So what they do in Israel is they stop. If they're driving, the siren sounds, they just stop. Everything stops. Cars in the middle of the highway, and they stand in remembrance of the 6 million Jews murdered by the monster Hitler and his regime. We must say never again. Praise report, prayer request. My praise, of course, is for my home, for my wife, my family, my now additional family. We have my wife, my son, my daughter-in-law, who's pregnant. I have a child in August. Then I have Chris and his new wife, and we have all of our furry kids, and I thank God for all of them. I praise him for all of them, for my possessions, this home, the studio, the technology. I praise him for all of you, for this ministry, for the dreams and the visions and his protection over us, that Psalm 91 covering that's still in effect. I praise him for his healing virtues and just to praise him. as I do often when I'm working on the Bible study, I crank up the praise and worship music, and my voice sounds a little more gravelly than normal. That's why. I praise Him for the renewed spirit man inside of me, being born again, and living in a country that allows me to do this for as long as it does, and if it doesn't, I'll go someplace else. Praise Him for the signs of the times that are glaring and blaring and shining like neon signs in Times Square. The King is coming back. Oh boy, is that a praise report. And I am praising that He's given us the warning to get ready. We hear creation groaning for the return of the King, so I praise Him for the coming kingdom and the new Jerusalem. My prayers start out with prayer for the peace of Israel, for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, for our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer for their faith. Never, never, never forget them. I pray that we would prosper as our soul prospers in accordance with the word, not with the name it and claim it prosperity gospel, which I do not believe is gospel with a G, capital G. I do not believe it's divinely inspired. If you do, then that's on you. I believe in divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, my family, and all of you. Let's get back to our divine design. Let's do what He's called us to do without being sick, without being bent over, without pain. I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe we need to go to a retreat somewhere, find a place we can all get together, get prayed up, praised up, and see if we can come into agreement. I don't know. That was spontaneous. I just kind of shot that out there. I pray for the inspiration that we need to do all that, for the remnant to wake up, rise up, and answer this call to action. And for those that have the ability to bless, to be a blessing. Mission 2018 shifted a couple of months ago, went to a higher level. We went from ground level warfare to Star Wars type warfare, and it's different. And it's required a new approach and new things to work on. So I ask for prayer in that regard. Protection over me and mine and all that are involved in this dangerous but divinely active time. The enemy knows what's going on. It knows the time. It's ramped up the attack. It's not fooled, so we shouldn't be either. And don't be fooled by the ear ticklers. Get in your word, listen to the Spirit, and take a stand. Stacy in Texas, no longer in Fort Mitchell, praise, report, prayer request for tonight. Thankful for my family, my pets, and like-minded believers in my life. Praise God we made it to Texas safely, mostly settled in, packed like sardines in my cousin's house. So when they gave you a key to the door, that was the key to the sardine can. Sorry, couldn't let it go. Now we just wait and pray for a house to sell and Neil to find a job, the moving company. Thing didn't work out so well. Said they were deplorable. Said it was the worst move by far. They damaged their furniture, water damage. I'm not sure how that happened. She didn't explain. Prayer for dealing with that and recompense. And continue to pray for Kim, her friend. And now we get into Kim. She says, I miss her like crazy. Kim in Fort Mitchell. And Kim, if you're listening, don't think you're going to be in Fort Mitchell long. So just listen to the whisper of the Lord when He tells you what to do. He says, say there, I hope the wedding was amazing and everyone is doing well. We are. God woke me up this morning with a grateful heart. That's all I need right now. I'm alive and I am sober. I know who saved my soul and nothing else matters in this moment. Amen. I cannot start the day without praising and passing on what I've received. If I start my day without a grateful heart, this world has wrapped me up with all its bondage by noon. I have to pray, continue to pray throughout every day. Let me address that there. This is something that's been rolling through me, and I'm going to post a blog about it on solomonsporch.com. I think social media and all those things, as I begin to delete and move away, I suddenly realize I don't really care about a lot of those topics anymore. They have no eternal value. So focus on what has eternal values. Keep your mind on things above. Says, I have to remind myself why I'm doing this. There will be the day when I don't hurt anymore, when I hear my Father say to me, welcome home. Father, until that day, please protect my children and I, save, heal, and deliver this family, my husband's and my mother's soul. Father, heal my heart. How do I forgive what has been done to me? Teach me how. Please provide for me and my family as well as the Porch families. Protect us from the enemy. Shield us. Keep us safe. Father, bless this child support case and give my son what he's entitled to have. Show me how to let go of things you want me to let go. I'm praying for healing over our bodies and spirits in Jesus' name. Well, Father, you know all these things. I'm not reminding you of anything, but I am coming to you in the confidence of your word and the promises that you've made. And more than that, I come to you in the confidence of your heart and your love for us. So right now, as your children, your sons and your daughters, we boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, we need you. We love you. We need to be loved on. Some of us are hurting right now. Some of us are feel broken, and only you can fix it. We feel empty. We're never hopeless because you are our hope. So I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for the love and the mercy and the grace and what you're showering down upon us right now. I thank you for Yeshua and what you asked him to do for us so that we could be reconciled to you and have this conversation I'm having right now. This isn't a prayer. This isn't one way. This is you and me talking on behalf of everyone else, Lord, that's listening. I thank you for hope. I thank you for the future. I thank you for the promises of your word. So right now, I'm asking you, in regard to the prayers that have been offered and the ones that are being offered right now as people listen, I'm asking you in full confidence for you to be as good as your word, to do what you said you would do so that we can glorify you and tell the world about you. Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for what you endured. I thank you for paying our debt. And I thank you that you rose again, that you sit at the right hand of the Father, and you've allowed us to sit with you in the heavenly places. I thank you for sending back your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh on Pentecost, and that the fire still falls. I thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of this in this time in history. But we need your help. We need your provision. We need your touch. We need our minds and our eyes open. We need our ears open. We need the chains and the bondages and the false teachings and all the things that have been put upon us and some we've put upon ourselves to be broken. We want to run. We want to fly. We never want to be weary. We don't want to fall. And if we do fall, you're going to pick us up and dust us off. Father, bless this time. Bless the technology. I pray right now that the fire of the upper room begin to be stirred up inside of us. And for those that don't have it, that you'd get it. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, let the fire of Pentecost fall upon you, fill you, and burn in you. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. This is Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 27. And then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Peter quoted the scripture on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Began to be fulfilled, Pentecost 33 AD, but it entered its final phase on Pentecost 1948. And it will culminate in the glorious second coming. You know what? We have supernaturally become a holy nation, a priesthood to serve the Lord. And it preceded the restoration of the nation of Israel, but I think it inspired it. Israel became a nation again at midnight, May 14th, 1948, Sivan 5, on the 360-day calendar, which was the termination of the British mandate. Sivan 5 is Pentecost on the 360-day calendar, while Sivan 6 is Pentecost on the regular Jewish calendar. Everything he does is with a purpose. Everything he does has meaning. And in 1948, so many things shifted. If you just look at what went on in the world, historically, paranormally, whatever you want to call it, all those things, everything shifted at that moment. See, the enemy knew. The enemy knew the clock. The enemy knew the fig tree, the leaves on the fig tree. It knew all those things, and it went to work. And the church went back to sleep. No big deal. And here we are, 70 years later, and the enemy's ramping it up. If you're not paying attention to the news, politics, finance, everything is falling into place for the Antichrist kingdom. And most people are oblivious. But we belong in the kingdom of God. We should be awake. That's what being born again is about. Excuse me. That's what this change. You were supposed to be a new creation that was tied back into the throne room through the connection of the Holy Spirit, getting your commands and your intel and your reports and your communiques and everything from the throne room itself. And when I speak to people about this, I have to actually almost do a Bible study to get them to understand what I'm talking about. And the warfare is coming so fast, so hot, so furious, that there will come a moment that I won't have time to explain. Kind of like the Lord. You know, the Lord did his thing. He said what he had to say, and he moved on. And if they didn't get it, that was on them. And I hate that. I know that sounds cold. But he had a schedule to keep to get to Calvary. Well, as this thing ticks to the end, we have a schedule to keep regarding the return of the Lord. But about being born again, you know it. John 3, Yeshua is talking to Nicodemus. He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see what I'm talking about in the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit, capital S, is spirit. Do not marvel that I said that to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. You can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where it goes. When the Spirit's moving, the natural mind does not understand, but we do. See, the man created by the great I Am, Almighty God in the garden, was awakened from his sinful slumber on Calvary. In the New Testament church, the Book of Acts church was born out of this awakening. 120 became 3,120 that day, and 8,120 the next, and so on. It began to replicate, and it began to explode. The Lord was building temples he could dwell in until man suddenly decided they had a better way, and they wanted to build their own temples. And once that happened, the fire died out, and another awakening was needed. Well, my desire and my fervor in these teachings is let's tear down those man-made temples and the religiosity that quenched the fire of the Holy Spirit, and let's get back to the upper room. Lord was building temples he could dwell in. No, man wanted their own. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to build counterfeit temples. Well, those counterfeit temples got to go. The fire must be released once again. as I said in that recording last week, I tell you what, I was blessed by listening to it when I put it together. We need to be like Samson. We need to tie the tails of the foxes together, set them on fire, and set them through the corn crops in the fields and set them ablaze. We need to look at the church as dried up fields of dead wood and whatever and set it on fire. You may not feel qualified. Oh, I don't know enough scripture. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. He can use whoever he wants to use. I'm a living example of that. I never would have chosen me. If I'd have been God and Richard would have showed up to apply for the job, I would have said, next. But thankfully, he sees the end from the beginning. He knew what he had put inside of me. He knew the plans that he had for me when I was in my mother's womb. I could take off right now. Let me keep my notes. C.H. Dodd, professor of New Testament at Cambridge University, wrote a book called Apostolic Preaching in 1964. And he distinguished six recurring themes in the Book of Acts sermons. One, the age of fulfillment has dawned. Two, that it took place through the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Yeshua. And we have the proof in the scriptures. Three, by virtue of the resurrection, Yeshua has been exalted to the right hand of God as Messiah, and he is the head of the new Israel. See, Israel was prophesied. Israel existed before, but then when they didn't accept Yeshua, they were dispersed. But they came back together in 1948 as a part of the final plan. You know, what's his name? The monster Hitler had a final solution. Well, I got news for HaSatan and the fallen and whoever their Antichrist is. We're a part of the real final solution. You don't like it, too bad. The Holy Spirit in the church is the sign of Messiah's present power and glory, his kingship. The Messianic age will reach its consummation at his return. And the kerygma, K-E-R-Y-G-M-A, which means preaching in the Greek, but it's not the action of the preacher, but the message he speaks, always closed with an appeal for repentance, the offer of forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit with the promise of salvation, that the life of the age to come was available right there, and they could enter an elect community. That's the core of their message. That's the core of their mission. That was the core of their agenda. It wasn't to get famous. It wasn't to build buildings. It wasn't to have programs. No, they had one agenda, prepare the way for the king. Let's go do what he said do. So we're talking about awakenings. I'm going to try to stay with that. These are the elements of the original awakening for the church. They were waiting on the Lord. We know they did that in the upper room. They came together in the unity of purpose, mind, and spirit. There was a manifestation and a dispensation of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, with the external evidence. Of course, they spoke in tongues. They had a boldness to preach the gospel. They had a conviction of sin. There was repentance because of that conviction, and there was conversion. These are the foundational elements of any real divinely inspired awakening. If there is no conviction of their sins and of their lifestyle, if there is no repentance, and if those two things don't inspire a conversion because of the gospel that's preached, it is not a divinely inspired fire from heaven. It is a false fire. It is a profane fire. And in the weeks ahead, I'm going to start talking about some of the profane fires that have been out there. So to get to this, we must have a personal awakening first. If you look at what happened in Acts chapter 2, I know I've said this before, but it really jumped out at me again today, so I had to add this. You look at it, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, after Peter says what he says, after he preaches, after he quotes Joel, The response of the crowd is, brothers, what should we do? If you are sharing the gospel with somebody, if you're witnessing to somebody and the Holy Spirit is in it, if the fire of the Lord is in it, if his presence is there, there's going to be conviction. I know what it feels like. And there should be a question, what do I need to do? I've told you there was a friend of ours in New York. He was an author friend that Deb had typed for and became friends with, and we all became friends. He had been molested as a child and become gay, but he had realized that lifestyle wasn't good for him, but he was tormented. And one of the first times I went back to New York to preach in 1993, I think it was, he must have reached out to Deb, and then she reached out to me at my mom's and where I was staying, and he wanted to talk to me. And it was the middle of the night. I didn't really want to do it, but my mother said, no, it sounds like he needs to speak to you. My mother wasn't always right spiritually, but she was that night. So I called him up, and he was obviously been drinking. He was in pain, both physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I just began to share with him the gospel. I just began to share with him what the Lord had done with me, how he had given back my family, how I wasn't the same person. And he knew that because he saw me. I'd stop by to see him. And when I got done, I can hear him crying on the other end of the phone. And he said, oh God, I want that. What do I have to do to get it? And I led him in the prayer of salvation. And he accepted Yeshua, accepted what Jesus did for him on the cross, made him Lord of his life. And periodically he'd struggle and he'd call me up and I'd pray with him and we'd get it back. That's what should happen. If it's coming from your heart, and if the Lord is in it, there'll be the question, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins. Turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises to you, and to your children, and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. What should we do? Repent. Repent of your sins. Turn to God. Turn away from the lifestyle and the life that you're living. It's killing you. Why can't we do that in love? Why can't we be honest with people? Oh, no, I don't want to step on their toes. We don't do that here. We're seeker friendly. Well, you watered down the antidote. You may have made them feel good, but you didn't change their life. Everything Peter did was to elicit that question, what should we do? Then we see Philip in Acts 8. Angel of the Lord speaks to Philip, says, arise, go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, had under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, obviously he was in Jerusalem for the Passover, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place he was reading in the scripture was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and he will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, whom does the prophet say this? Of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Right there is the opportunity to tell him the truth, and that's what he does. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Yeshua to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, "If you will believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus the Messiah is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, snatched him away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He didn't go looking for Philip. He went on his way rejoicing. He had found the Lord. He was born again. He'd been baptized. And when you look at that, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, out of the way. It's this Greek word, harpazo, caught up, taken by force, caught away, plucked. It's the same verb used when Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12, "I know a man in Messiah who 14 years ago, whether in body, I don't know, or whether out of body, I don't know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter." He was caught up into paradise, which we know from there is in the third heaven. The same snatched harpazo used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then we who are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." It's the catching away, the snatching away of the church. It's also in Revelation 12:5 when it talks about the rapture of the man-child and the vision. She bore a male child, talking about Israel. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up, snatched up to God and his throne. We know that Yeshua, when he takes off in Acts, and we know he's coming back the same way. Don't let people tell you there's nothing about rapture in the Bible. Whether it's Enoch or Elijah or these examples. And the description of Philip's change in location, the terminology indicates some kind of miraculous transportation. Having heard the message of Messiah's sacrifice for sin, the eunuch responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Irenaeus, an early church father who lived between 130 and 202 AD, wrote that the eunuch returned to Ethiopia and became a missionary to his own people. The key was this: in any awakening, whether corporate or personal, is the conviction, it's the nature of I need a Savior and the secret of salvation. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth, speak it out loud, manifest it into the open air, the Lord Yeshua, Adonai Yeshua, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the idea of this awakening that I've been talking about implies a slumber or a passivity that during secular or less spiritual times, I don't want to say religious, people wake up. Some do, not all. We know with the 10 virgins, 5 were foolish, 5 were ready, that they both woke up and only 5 got to go. But when we talk about the revival of the church, it is a period of increased spiritual interest and a renewal of the life of the corporate global church. We've seen pockets of them. We've seen revivals that turned into awakenings, and then we've seen revivals that didn't do much at all. Oh, we're going to have a revival. We're going to have a series of meetings. We're going to sing. We're going to dance. We're going to do all this stuff. And everybody gets excited. I've been there. I get excited. And then it goes away. And people don't change, and the community around us didn't change. And while those mass conversions and inspiration of both non-believers and believers will have an effect, but if it doesn't change the moral climate of the culture and the climate around there, what's the point? Real supernatural events like that will create a change, not just in the people, not just in that local fellowship, but in the community around them. And so everybody wants a revival. I want an awakening. I want an awakening that affects both the church and the world. We need to wake up. We really need to wake up. We're tired. We're beat down. We have fed on too much word. Our bellies are full. All we want to do is sleep, like the disciples in the garden. We need to wake up. We need to understand that during these four great awakenings, which I mentioned last week, there were things in each one of them that are good, and there were things that were not so good. But one of the things that Jonathan Edwards did that was good in 1734 was he preached justification by faith alone. And he was concerned about the complacency of the church of that day. See, nothing's changed much, has it? Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. I'm off notes here. In looking at the prayer requests and the ones I've had and the ones I know that you have that weren't shared, how much of the answer of what you're going through is in that scripture, Acts 17:28? How much of your life is in him? How much of him moves you? And how much of him is your being? Meaning, all the things we're distracted by. I mentioned social media before. First of all, it hasn't really changed anything. All we do is tickle each other's ears, and we snack on prophecy or what we think is prophecy, or this person, that person. But it has no eternal value. Nothing's changed. Nobody's saved. Nobody's healed. Nobody's delivered. And I'm outside of him. I'm living in a world. I'm moving in a world. And my being's in the world. And I wonder why I'm tired and frustrated and angry and feel the way I do. And since I've gotten off social media, maybe that's the key. I'm laughing more. I'm having more fun. Certain things are still going on that bothered me before. But the fact is, in him I live. And I move and I have my being. We should live that way. See, he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly, because HaSatan and the fallen and their demonic offspring are thieves. They come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, if they're stealing your time with the Lord, if they're stealing your prayer time, if they're stealing your emotional time, if you're caught up in all the drama, if you're creating your own drama, I got news for you. We're going to join the No More Drama Club. And that's going to happen when you get back to basics. Satan wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He wants to take away the joy in your life. He wants to take away the abundance in your life. When he starts getting you to focus on all those things that are wrong, go back to the cross, go back to the Lord, get out some praise and worship music. I'm sorry, if it's good, anoint real praise and worship music. You won't feel down and depressed for long. So Jonathan Edwards knew that there was something wrong, and he wanted a word spoken in season. He wanted the blessings of heaven. He wanted a fire to change things, and boy, did it. A spiritual snowball started rolling down the cold spiritual hills of New England religious life. people that had become God's frozen people. Charles Finney was much the same way. Much of the Northeast, Rochester, New York, is based on his revivals. He had an opinion, and I'm going to have to flip it a little. He said there can be no revival when Mr. Amen and Mr. Wet Eyes are not found in the audience. And there are some people that get emotional, but what he was talking about, he was changing areas. Entire geographical areas formed around the preaching and the teaching and the traveling and the awakening and the fervor. People were moved. They were excited. They were convicted. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, all these people, they didn't care about engaging your mind or convincing you how intelligent they were. They wanted a real spiritual response from their audience. They wanted to see a tangible change in the individual lives and the lives of the community. Spiritual awakening brings change. The abolition movement to end slavery emerged in the North as an outcome of the Second Great Awakening in the 1800s and 1840. Yes, there were political things, and yes, there was profiteering going on, but it started from a conviction that this is wrong. The Third Great Awakening of 1880 and 1910 spawned new denominations, and while that wasn't a good thing in some ways, it created an explosion of the gospel. If only they had said, let's not be a denomination, let's just be one church. But anyway, so, you know, social issues got dealt with, whether it was poverty or crime or racial tensions, the slums, child labor, all these things came out of wanting his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you can't do that if you're not born again. So until we change a person's soul, politics won't do anything. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Until we change the person, we can outlaw abortion, people will still get them. We can outlaw guns, people will still kill them and get with them. They'll get them and kill people. We need to stop dealing with the inanimate and start dealing with the lives of individuals. I've seen it happen. I've seen people pray conviction in an area and watch abortion clinics close. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. And if you haven't figured it out yet, government's not the answer. Laws are not the answer, at least not man's laws. God's laws are the answers. In 1905, somebody asked Evan Roberts, the inspiration behind the Wales Revival, what is the secret of revival? He said, there is no secret. It's only ask and receive. In that revival that took place in 1904 and 1905, 150,000 people were converted and filled the churches and the chapels in Wales. That's a real awakening. Lives were transformed. Lifestyles were changed. Homes and families were healed. The church fellowships were packed and on fire with a fervor and a zeal. We'll talk about this in the days ahead. I've read the books on it. Of during that period of time, of delivery people driving over the bridge, and as they got into the area where the church was, where they were holding these services, conviction would overwhelm them. Men would stop their trucks, fall out wailing and weeping before the Lord, and by the inspiration of the Spirit, one of the leaders, who were all young college-age kids, would be nearby to lead them to the Lord. It was one of the most revolutionizing thing that had ever happened to the church, and how the enemy shut it down was sent somebody with a religious spirit to put doubt into Evan Roberts' head, and it died. But he had a four-part message. One, confess all known sin. Two, deal with and get rid of anything doubtful in your life. 3, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly. And 4, confess Yeshua as Messiah publicly. Why not? He said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And revival fire spread across Wales late 1904, early 1905. No official records were kept. 150,000 is considered a very conservative estimate during the first 6 months. They were transforming lives by the thousands. And there was no smoke and mirrors. There was no show we have today. Sometimes he would go there, sit in the front pew, and he wouldn't move, and the Spirit would take over, and people would start spontaneously praising and making up songs. And the people that were waiting online outside, because to get a seat for the next service, you had to wait for a while. And then they would start singing in response to a song that had no words, and they would sing back and forth, and many of the hymns we sing today came out of the spontaneous praise from the Holy Spirit. Communities turned upside down, radically changed from decadence and fleshly to godliness and spiritual. Crime rate dropped. The police force reported that they had little more to do than to supervise the coming and going of the people to the chapel, to the prayer meetings. And the magistrates who turned up in court discovered they had no cases to try. Don't tell me this doesn't work. The alcohol trade was ruined. The bars were emptied and the local chapels were full. Societies, families were restored and renewed. Souls were saved. Society was changed, and all because they answered the question, what should we do? A.W. Tozer said, absolute candor is indispensable prerequisite to salvation. So the key to a truly Holy Spirit awakening is conviction of sin. If you do not realize that you need a Savior, if you do not desire Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you're still in your sinful slumber. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Remember what he said, John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16:7-11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because of the ruler of this world is judged. There should be a conviction of sin and the judgment that goes with it. And that word convict in the Greek means to confute, admonish, convince, rebuke, and reprove. And yet so many supposed churches and denominations, they don't want to hurt anybody, offend anybody. They don't want to step in anybody's toes. And if I had been in one of those places in October of 1988, I wouldn't have gotten saved. But my Father and my Lord knew enough to put me in a place where, A, they preached about sin, and B, there was a pastor who could handle somebody who was probably 99.9% possessed. But there is another key to what I'm talking about. 1 John chapter 5, starting verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. Jumping back to John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, Yeshua, the Lord said to the disciples, but you cannot hear them now. You cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He will guide, the Spirit guides you into all truth. If you're in error, that means you're not listening to the Spirit. It's not the Spirit talking. If it takes you away from the Lord, if it takes you away from this message, it's not the Holy Spirit. And the key to all of this, the gifts of the Spirit working with the fruit of the Spirit. We know the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Messiahs have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11, the diversity of gifts, same Spirit. Now notice I started with the fruit of the Spirit. Now I'm taking you to the gifts of the Spirit. Diversity of gifts, same Spirit. Difference of ministries, same Lords. Diversity of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation, the external action of the Holy Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. He chooses what you get. Chooses when you get it. You may get one, you may get them all, but it's his choice. So stop going to these conferences and paying money for somebody to tell you how they're going to teach you how to stir up the gifts. They're going to teach you how to do this. They're going to teach you how to do that. No, they can't do that because it's the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12:11, that decides and distributes according to his will. But the one thing that gets mentioned in both Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians 12 is love. Love is the bridge between the gifts and the fruit. Love makes possible the fellowship of the family of the church and guarantees that the gifts will be used unselfishly. Because love is the greatest gift given by God, who is love. Remember when the scribe came to Yeshua in Mark 12, said, which is the first commandment of all? And Yeshua said, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Yeshua saw that he answered wisely, he said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. meaning he just needed to get born again. He already had the intellectual understanding. We just don't seem to get it, and we claim to be born again. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I believe that is why the early church was so productive, because they had the combination of the gifts, of the fruit. They cared about one another, and they loved the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength, with everything that is within them. And we're going to get back to that fire. It's got to go there. It's got to start with, are you born again? Do you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Are you willing to lay things on the altar to die? Are you willing to put things down that he doesn't want? Put it on the altar. Let it go. Are you willing to do that? And to serve him with everything that you have. He may not be asking you to be a preacher, teacher, do any of the things that I talk about or he's used me to do. You may have a greater calling. I don't know. You may be a missionary. You may be somebody that goes into the nursing homes, goes into the hospital. I don't know. But the Spirit does. But it has to start with you. It has to start with your personal awakening. Has to start with a conviction of sin. So, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I pray right now that you would bless and touch and reach through the wall of religion to help your children. Reach through these counterfeit temples, tear them down, get them out of them. Speak to them right now and say, come out from amongst them and be separate. Fill them with your fire. Heal their wounds. Heal their hearts. If their families are not saved, if their mates are not saved, then Lord, send an angel. Send the Spirit. Do what needs to be done to fix that situation like you did with me. Maybe they need to do what my wife did. Stop praying for her marriage and started praying for my soul. Because what good was the marriage if I wasn't born again? If I was going to burn in eternity in a lake fire prepared for Satan and his angels. No, Lord, we need the fire. We need a renewed fire. We need that upper room fire. We need what propelled the Book of Acts Church to do what they did, to put aside all the cares and all this nonsense and all the distraction and things that have no eternal value, and to be focused on you, to be focused on the return of the King, to have the oil in our lamp and to be ready. Father, I pray this now. I believe this now from my heart to the throne room. Let your fire fall. Let the rain fall. Refresh us, Lord. Renew us. Fill us. Send the provision. Send the manna in whatever way, shape, and form you desire so that we can go. Let us go set the captives free. Let us go rescue the lambs that have been taken by the wolves and the lions, and let's go plunder the kingdom of darkness. Let's kick in their doors, kick in their gates, and plunder it for your glory, for the kingdom of God. Lord, I cry out with all of my heart, with everything that is in me, Lord. Let it be so according to your word, in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.